This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Not an April Fool's joke. Ohio State has a better offensive line this spring than it had last spring. It is April Fool's Day, but not a joke. Letterman Row in the building for Woody, in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for number 9 of spring practice at Ohio State. Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Backstrom, and me, Spencer Holbrook. Tim, YouTube comments said I was mean to you. I apologize if so. I think it was good bants. What'd you learn about the offensive line?
That's okay, man. I'm getting over it. Speaking of April Fool's Day, it's Anders Backstrom's birthday.
Oh, we're going to get there, Tim. Believe me.
And that's no joke either, right, Andy?
Yeah.
What are you now, 26? 26. Oh, my goodness. My birthday was last week, and I'm not 26. Got me? What'd you ask me just now?
Offensive line takeaways. You know, we just talked to a few of them.
Well, here's offensive line takeaways. I really like Josh Fryer the way he is. Well, he's always been kind of a cool guy to talk to, but the way he has matured, in my opinion, he's the ringleader of that bunch. He and Donovan Jackson, they're just a maturity about both of those guys. And they, you know, Josh Fryer, if he has to play guard, he'll play guard. If he has to play tackle, he'll play tackle, whatever's best for the situation. And that's a takeaway. And then the other takeaway was I was talking with Tegra Shibola, you know, late Ken Fritz, bless his heart. We were standing right over there on the sidelines a year ago at one of the spring practices, and he goes, man, does that guy look the part? And he was talking about Tegra Shibola. And about 5 minutes later, Marvin Harrison Jr. ran right over Ken Fritz. But that's another story. Back to what your question was, Tegra Shibola is basically, his approach to this spring mentally is nobody cares, meaning nobody cares how long you've been here. Nobody cares what troubles and travails you may be going through, etc. Once you step over the red line, as Justin Fry said, it's all about right now getting better, not feeling sorry for yourself, not taking anything for granted, and getting everyone right about this. But it's interesting because Tegra Shibola, man, if that guy really takes the bit here this spring, the depth on this offensive line room, I think, is obvious to everybody when you figure everybody else, including Seth McLaughlin and the guys that have been added to it. And Luke Montgomery coming on strong. I mean, it could be a very interesting year in the offensive line play in 2024.
What'd you learn, Andy?
Well, that right side is really where they're working. The left side, I feel like, is pretty set. You have Donovan Jackson at left guard. You have Josh Simmons at left tackle. And by the way, Josh Simmons seems to be taking another step, and that's just following the maturation of these guys that your first year, you're learning. Your second year even is a process, but your third year, you can really break out. And it feels like Josh Simmons now, as more of a veteran player, is taking that next step, matching that athleticism with the technique, with the mental side of the game. Really what I was focusing on today, though, was the center competition between Seth McLaughlin, who came in from Alabama, and Carson Hinsman, who started 12 games last year, but then, of course, didn't play in the Cotton Bowl. He was asked about the Cotton Bowl. He did not say too much about why he did not play. He just said it was the best thing for the team. That's what he was told, and he went along with that. He did say, though, that last year was a learning process for him. You know, he started in 6 road games, which is unusual for a first-time center at Ohio State. He said just with the silent counts, you know, making calls at the line in some of those environments, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Michigan, that was, you know, a journey for him to learn all of that. He also said he was playing underweight. You know, he was really not as heavy as he needed to be. A lot of times he was trying to put on weight, but it was water weight. He said he's had a good offseason with getting, you know, back to where he should be with Mick Marotti and the strength and conditioning program here. So he's really trying to compete for this spot now, and he's motivated to because they brought in Seth McLaughlin from Alabama, who also could very well start at center here.
Yeah, that's who I kind of focused on today with Seth McLaughlin. last week, I think Ryan Day talked about how it was a cadence issue at Alabama, and he feels like Seth is completely past the center issues that he had last year, the snapping issues. And I asked Seth about it, you know, what is it about that? And he said it's kind of like a golf swing. And, you know, obviously that perks our ears up because it's easier to understand. It's not football talk, it's golf talk. And he said if you have to pause in the backswing and you don't know when to bring the club down, your golf swing is going to look worse.
Unless you're Hideki Matsuyama.
Sure. Happy Masters Week. Oh, wait, that's next week. But it's the same at center. When you don't know when to snap the ball, then it's going to be like, okay, do I snap it now? Do I snap it now? And then you have to just go with it. He said when you can kind of get a rhythm with the cadence with each of these quarterbacks, it makes it easier to get the snap down. I didn't see a bad snap out here from Seth McLaughlin on Saturday. Ryan Day said he hasn't had any real issues this spring. If that's the case, his PFF grades, the metrics that show his experience, shows me that he can be a high level center at Ohio State. Now he's got to beat out Carson Hinsman, and that's, you know, that is a competition still. Yep. But the Ohio State offensive line will be better if those guys are pushing each other and becoming better players together, and may the best man win there. But Seth McLaughlin and his snapping issues being behind him, that's an incredible development for an offensive line that center, right guard, right tackle, still trying to make sure it's got everything in place.
I'm not sure how pervasive his snap problems were last year, because he continued to be the starter throughout the season on a team that went to the college football playoff semifinals. And I think a lot of people have definitely latched on to that semifinal loss to Michigan when he had, what, five or six of those bad snaps. But, you know, it was hard to tell whether some of that was on him and some of that was on, like, Jalen Milroe from the standpoint of the timing aspect.
Well, and I asked him about that.
Yeah. And what did he say?
He said, you know, I said, I don't want you to bash Jalen Milroe. It's not why I'm asking the question. But, like, what is the difference here? And he said, you know, we're not going to go off of a clap. We're going off of, you know, and he even said when you hear, like, a wide 80, wide, you know, you can kind of get the cadence down a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal. But then moving over to right guard, we also talked to Luke Montgomery. You talked about him, Tim. Andy, I think you were talking to Josh Fryer and a couple other guys. We also talked to Justin Fry. And, like, this unit just feels so much better placed than it was last year, Tim.
Agreed.
Just,
100%.
The feeling is just different. I don't know how to really describe it.
Agree 100%. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about the quarterback. I've been hammering this forever, just like I was this time a year ago. I was more, if in fact concern is the right term, there was more concern in my mind about what the offensive line was going to look like coming out of the spring a year ago than it was, because I thought they had a couple of quarterbacks that could play. Same thing with this. I mean, I think they've got a couple of quarterbacks, maybe three. Maybe three. I'm just saying.
maybe four.
Maybe three. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I keep winking and nobody can see me winking, but because you keep interrupting me and hurting my feelings. But the bottom line is they if this offensive line comes together, they've got all the weapons on this football team to do what we think they can do. And I include quarterback in that too, because my jury was still out. It's still out a little bit on the quarterback situation. There's no C.J. Stroud in this group, you know. But there are two quarterbacks for sure, three, that can run, will run. But also, I mean, the way Sayan, man, he – I don't know why I'm talking about Sayan when you asked me about the offensive line. But
it's a wonder.
It is cool to stand behind a guy like that and watch him just rip off passes. I mean, it was cool on Saturday. My point is, if they have the time, you know, if some of these guys come along, like Tegra Shaboli, you need depth at the offensive line. You know, a knock-on-wood thing for Ohio State is that in the last many years, they have not had to really plumb the depth too much on the offensive line. It's pretty much been the same five guys most of the time, right? But now it looks like there is some insurance policies kind of coming to fruition there for them, and that's what's going to be interesting coming out of the spring. What is that front five going to look like?
Yeah, it's interesting, Andy, because you've got Josh Fryer, you've got Josh Simmons, then you've got Tegra Shaboli, you've got George Fitzpatrick, and all of a sudden, it looks like tackle depth is actually something that they may have, which they haven't had in, honestly, maybe since I've been here, like years since they've had tackle depth.
Well, there was that year when they started four tackles and a center.
But it feels like Justin – yeah, that's true. It feels like Justin Fry is pretty confident in the depth that he's got on the offensive line. The same could absolutely not be said last year.
Well, they like the second-year guys, along with Luke Montgomery, Austin Saraville at left guard, or working a little bit at right guard at times. Mm-hmm. They like his progression. They also like what's happening with Josh Padilla, who's at center as well. And another center note, by the way, is that Carson Hinsman and Seth McLaughlin can play guard, but they've been only repping at center.
Yeah.
And Justin Fryer's pretty clear about that, that right now for coaching, the best way to put them in good position to be successful this year is to have them both compete at center right now, only center. And but it is interesting because let's say Seth McLaughlin wins the job. Carson Hinsman, I wouldn't assume like that he's going to hit the portal immediately. He could if he wanted to. But Seth McLaughlin only has one more year of eligibility, and Carson Hinsman's still really young. And that was a huge part of that conversation was that, look, they all thought Luke Whipler was going to come back and play center one more year here before going to the NFL. When he left, that surprised everyone in this building.
Yeah.
And they ended up having to bring in Vic Cutler from Louisiana Monroe. That didn't work out maybe the way they expected. And then they start Carson Hinsman. And that was probably a year too early maybe in certain ways. But, you know, he learned a lot from that process. But you have some time with these guys, with the Josh Padillas, with the Carson Hinsmans, with the Luke Montgomerys, you know, even a Miles Walker who's still developing. Like, these are Justin Fry's guys now he's bringing in. And you're starting to see them develop under him. And I think that's a good thing for this offensive line and the depth. And Josh Fryer, like, if they move him to guard, which they could do, there's so many different options there. I mean, it's the best five. That's always what he says. The best five. It's not about the best positioning arrangement. They're going to figure out how to get those best five on the field.
I'm not sure if that's particularly in the cards because of what we heard from Luke Montgomery today. Could Josh Fryer play guard? Yes. Luke Montgomery is training only at guard right now. And that's kind of telling to me. Like, the fact that they're not even, like, cross-training Luke anymore says, like, okay, you know, like you just said, the best thing for the team is for Carson Hinsman and Seth McLaughlin to both play center and see which one is better. The best option right now at guard is to make sure Luke Montgomery is as good of a guard as he can be. Ryan Day says repeatedly when asked about Luke Montgomery, I've never heard him use it with any other player. Everything you put into him, you're going to get out of it. Well, they're putting every resource possible into him playing guard. They're putting every resource possible and pouring them into Carson and Seth McLaughlin both playing center. The tackles, it looks like they're pouring everything into four tackles specifically. George Fitzpatrick, Tegra Shibola, and then the two incumbent starters, Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer. And if you do that, the baseline level of competence for this offensive line compared to where it was on April 1st last year, it's like an April Fool's joke in and of itself. I mean, like, it is crazy. Night and day, you know, spring and winter, the differences in this offensive line.
Tim and Spencer.
Yeah, young and an idiot, wise.
Beyond his years.
Grizzled, old veteran.
I'm wise beyond my years.
Yeah, you could say that.
The George Fitzpatrick, I kicked myself because I didn't get a chance to get over in the scrum with George Fitzpatrick. But there's a guy, I'm not sure he was on a lot of people's radar. I mean, sure he was because he's here and stuff. But I thought he looked pretty good at times on Saturday.
And, yeah.
I got to spend a little bit of time with his dad and then Bob Maggs, a former offensive lineman here on the sideline. I think I talked about it on Saturday and stuff. And, there's some – I keep calling it that bubbling aspect. There's some stuff bubbling up on this football team, and the offensive line is a great example of that because some guys you may have let's face it, there were times last year when Josh Simmons had, as you asked Justin Fry about it during the interviews here, when he had some snap, some get-off problems, you know what I mean? Some illegal procedures, et cetera. And the thing about it is sometimes when you've only got a set group, you got to pretty much go with the flow, right? But if you have somebody stepping up who's capable of playing, you know, sometimes it's good for a guy to come out of the game a little bit and watch, you know, settle down, you know. Seth McLaughlin with a couple of bad snaps here against Michigan. Well, they really didn't have anybody else. I mean, you got to stick with your starting center and stuff. But that was, especially those first several games of this season, we're not going to mamby-pamby that. I know you never do. I do sometimes.
No.
The competition factor there. They're going to have plenty of time to roll a lot of these guys in and see if they're ready for prime time before they, obviously they play Iowa the week before they go to Oregon.
Well,
that'll be the first huge test.
But it's two scrub teams. I don't remember them off the top of my head. I think it's Akron and Marshall, which Marshall's nothing to scoff at, but whatever.
Marshall's not a scrub.
But then you've got a bye week.
Yeah.
And then you've got another non-conference. Yeah, you've got another non-conference, and then you've got there's time there to toy with this offensive line. I think that's in the cards. A couple other notes before we get out of here. Lincoln Keenholz, hell of a leg. Kicked the ball 70 yards in front of the specialists.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, he's a crazy athlete. But he was doing some fun special team stuff. Tim Walton working with some of the safeties about their shuffling technique. I just always find it interesting when guys are out here getting extra work in. and then Hero Canoe providing some insight on who Luke Montgomery is as part of the scrum, because Hero wants to do some journalist stuff. He interrupted and said, hey, let me tell you something about Luke. And we got Luke's reaction. That was a really cool moment. There's probably video of it out there somewhere, but I didn't take the video. But cool moment between Hero and Luke, and then obviously Tim. Come on.
What?
It's Andy's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Andy,
happy birthday,
anything Andy. To say about your birthday? Any, you guys can thank the Academy, anybody?
Hey, where were you born, Andy? Where were you born?
Outside of Philadelphia.
Where? Outside Philadelphia?
Yeah, somewhere.
Like Ben Salem? I mean, where?
No,
where were
not
you born?
In like Lancaster, oh, not in the farmland. Oh,
yeah. We don't need to get into too okay. many specifics here. People don't need to be tracking
people
Andy.
I need to know more about Andy.
I do want to add something about football, though, with Chip Kelly, though. With this offensive line, we were focusing on last year, right? The run game just was not where it needed to be.
Right.
And some of the tweaks that they have made, I think we could even see in Student Appreciation Day, whether yeah. it was adding the quarterback run, you know, using a wide receiver like a Mecca Buka in the run game,
yep.
just getting more creative with it, that's going to help this offensive line. I think that, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me when they brought in Chip Kelly, one of the first things he said to us as the media was like, hey, there's a lot of talent there I identified right away from the offensive line. I think he's going to try to get the most out of each of these guys. And I'm really interested to see how that affects the run game, because yeah. in pass protection, aside for some really notable moments, of course, the ending of the Michigan game, they were decent in pass protection last year. It was the run game where they struggled, and I think those tweaks of the scheme that he's making could really help this group.
Yeah, and you know, Seth McLaughlin, I asked him a little bit about that. You know, what specifically about Chip Kelly? You know, he sees these little fine things in the run game, which is very interesting. And Justin Fry was talking about the same thing. It's like Chip Kelly has this ability to study. He knows, if you do this, what this Will linebacker or what this Sam linebacker is going to do if you throw this at him, and then you come at him with a double whammy. You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, but there is genius in the run game, just like there's genius in the passing game. We think all the genius in run game is all about going up and blocking somebody or shading somebody and letting the running back go through. But there are ways I could keep telling everybody, he schemes guys open in the run game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's in, and you know, they ran a couple of three quarterback keeps off right guard, basically play action, in essence, zone read stuff on Saturday where, you know, Will Howard, Devin Brown did, I think Lincoln Keenholz did it once, maybe even Julian Sayin, where it just broke wide open for the mm-hmm. quarterback. Even in a tag situation, nobody tagged
yeah.
him. And that's what's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, so little fine points, just like Jim Knowles. Jim Knowles, he sees the fine points, man, of, mm-hmm. of the game that can make it. Your guys have still got to, you know, they've still got to, what's the word I'm looking there for, execute in those realms. But you got two pretty high-level minds at the coordinator positions here at Ohio State right now, which are going to be interesting to watch this year, considering all of the talent they have on hand to do what they want to do.
Leave it to these guys to get me back on football when I'm just trying to celebrate Andy's birthday,
I
man.
Know. That is well, we forgot the cake. Well, I even forgot the candles.
Yeah, we'll put some birthday hats on and call it a day. Tim May, the 41-year vet, my best friend, you know, the brightest mind in the building here.
I'm only 3 times older than you, but that's all right.
Well, we're still buddies, Tim. Andy Backstrom, me, Spencer Holbrook, the producer and host. You know, as a host, I've got to keep everybody on track.
Yeah, I know Jay Leno.
And I promise.
You. I hear you.
I promise.
I hear you, Johnny Carson.
They're not going to fire me. And I am the producer.
I hear
just
you,
had to throw
John,
that
I hear,
in there.
I hear you, John Oliver.
That's Tim May. That's Andy Backstrom. I'm Spencer Holbrook, birthday boy. Make sure to wish Andy a happy birthday in the comments. Like the video.
26, man.
Like the video here on YouTube. Make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It helps out the show as we grow. By the way, On Three added Steve Wiltfong to the program.
Yeah, there's a big acquisition.
You talk about reeling in a big fish. Happy Steve Wiltfong Day to everyone who celebrates. Wiltfong over on the Letterman Lounge message board now, putting in RPM picks for Ohio State and the rest of college football, because that's what he does. He's the best in the business. He's now a part of On Three, helping out Letterman Row with his recruiting coverage. Matt Parker and Alex Gleitman on that side. If you're into that kind of thing, $1 for your first month. That's right, $1 for your first month of Ohio State football coverage at lettermanrow.com. We'll see you guys over there for Tim's coverage, for Andy's coverage, for my coverage. We'll see you in the Letterman Lounge message board. We'll see you at lettermanrow.com, and we'll see you back in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on Wednesday for more coverage of Ohio State spring practice.